Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read a few verses and then we'll get into a study tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So if we look at John 6:63, John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life." So if it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and the Word of God is spirit, is what it says. And if you look at John 8:32, in John 8:32, the Word of God says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So truth is connected with freedom. Truth is connected with freedom. And I'm going to try to draw this. Let me see if I can... You'll figure out what it is, probably. It's kind of like charades here, but I think you'll figure out what it is. And this is a really rough drawing, but it is what it is. It's either a really weird-looking dinosaur or it's the United States. I'm not sure. But what I wanted to talk about tonight, I actually drew that out on paper and it looked pretty good, but it didn't work out here. I impressed myself for just a second, but then I depressed myself again. So what we're going to look at is something about the founding of this country. We talked about this a little bit before, and I want the focus to be on this country. I want the focus to be on the Lord and that book, but I want to realize tonight that we talked a lot about, and we talk a lot about, and have talked a lot about, a lot of Baptists talk about, a lot of saved people talk about, the reason God has blessed the United States so much is because they blessed Israel. And there's a lot of truth to that. But it's more about the Word of God. It's more about the Word of God. Jesus Christ, God... See, in John, I think it's 138, or not John, Psalm 138:2, it says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." So, as much as God loves Israel, and Israel's the apple of his eye, and as much as he loves us, the church, his word's more important to him than Israel. And we got a lot of people running around saying, "Oh, God bless Israel," putting Israel signs in their yard and everything else, but they threw the book away. They've thrown the book out, and even if they read whatever version they have, they throw the real one out. Most people don't read their Bible anymore, but they're really religious. They'll stick that sign out there, and they'll talk about Israel and talk about God blessing the United States, but it's about that book. It's about the Word. And I'm going to look at a few things. I won't be long on this tonight, but I want to talk about a few things. And what happened here was, I'm going to have to, this dinosaur is driving me nuts. I'm going to fix its head. Let's see how I did it the first time. It looked a little better. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was, that didn't look any better. Whatever it was, it's getting worse. All right. Next time I'm just going to bring a life-size paper in. All right, so what happened was the United States was founded. It started up here, right? So we had something start right here, and we had talked about this once long while back. But what had happened was the different historians, they tell you different things about this, but talking about Christopher Columbus and Leif Erikson and all that stuff, Amerigo Vespucci, all that stuff, all these people going around trying to trade spices for furs and all this baloney. They really come over. They come over to conquer and to take things. And they were all of the Babylonian influence. Let's put it that way. Christopher Columbus was a Babylonian influence. Babylonian influence. And you know they sugarcoat it and say, well, he come over and he was trading salt and pepper for beaver pelts. No, they were killing people and trying to force them to turn in their religion and taking stuff from them. They called them conquistadors, conquerors. They didn't call them, friend makers. But what they did, what happened was God had an idea, a plan for over here in 1492, 1500s. He didn't allow anybody to come over here and settle here. And there were the indigenous people and all that stuff, and they didn't own land and stuff like that. They just existed here. So, God didn't allow this country to be founded until that Bible was translated into English. The King James Bible, we could go through it and look at some things in history of how he kept people from coming up too far and coming in too far. Just several things stopped him from taking in over this land and moving in this land until God was ready for it. And then when God was ready for it, he sent some people up here. And they come down through here, and they were having these revivals and things going on up here. And we'll just say, what had happened was God allowed these people to bring the King James Bible over here. And they brought that Bible over here, and when the people were founded here, and they started to grow up in this northeast area, well, the devil wasn't going to have that. So what he did was through different religious means, he sent in Calvinists and Jesuits and different things to come in here and infiltrate these churches and mess up their doctrine. So, I mean, if you think about it, we've talked about this before, but do you remember why we even have a place called Maryland? It's not because of the Baptist Church. It's because some people that really hold Mary in high esteem. So you see that influence, that Babylonian influence was in here. And then we have the trained Jesuit influence, and we could get into a long thing about different secret societies and how they've pretty much translated into one from one to another and bound together, and the Jesuits and the Masons and on down the line, a whole bunch of stuff that really, saved people don't have any business messing with that stuff. And there are a lot of saved people out there that are involved in that stuff, don't know what they're involved in probably, some of them maybe they do. But I was talking to a guy here a while back and he was asking me something about being a Mason. I said, I've never been interested in that. He said, why not? I said, I'm a saved person. I don't have anything to do with secret societies and stuff like that. It's just, and I know a little bit about what's going on with you guys. He said, well, all we do is try to teach people how to run the government. And I said, well, you guys are doing a bang-up job, I might add. I mean, worldwide, you guys are killing it. Amen. And he kind of laughed, and that was the end of that conversation. But so we get over here, and, God's Word's being blessed and glorified and magnified, and their church is being planted. The enemy comes in and trying to snuff out that flame that God lit there. Move down through here in this area. This probably should be lower down north, South Carolina, Virginia, around here. That's probably about the right area. And they start having the influence of the King James Bible. Well, the enemy shows up there, infiltrating the churches and stuff. Actually, at one time, what we know as the Bible Belt now, which is, everywhere down south, from North South Carolina down through, Georgia, Alabama, all over Kentucky. We'll throw Kentucky in there for Bill. Because Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's the only reason he thinks about Kentucky probably. But anyway, at one time, the folks up here, as they were growing, they knew this was being settled, and they said these people were pretty much unchurched religious folks down there that needed the book, you know. So God's spread this down here, and they started to grow. Well, the enemy shows up. They come down here a little further, and they grow. The enemy shows up, and the enemy shows up. And on over here to California. It's funny because every time there was a growth, it always ends in some kind of apostasy. And now if you look at it, these areas here were probably the last ones to really go apostate. They really, because really the Bible believing Methodists and Catholic, or not Catholic, Methodists and Baptists and some of the Presbyterians and stuff were down here. And you can still find a Methodist church that believes the book every now and again around here. And you can still find, believe it or not, a Baptist church that does every once in a while. But it's hard to find them up here anymore. It's hard to find them over here. And it's definitely hard to find them out here. I mean, it's just, I think the devil, part of what the devil used over here, you know, between the gold rush and the greed and all that other stuff to get people's eyes off of the truth, but who knows what all else. But that's a mess out on this coast. And it's not just here. It's all along here. It's really, really bad. But we call what we call the Midwest, and forgive me, but we're in the Mideast over here. I don't know what people were thinking. I looked at the map many times trying to figure out how this is Midwest. Here's the middle. There's the East. We're in the Mideast. But anyway, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, this thing was moving down through here for years, and God was just spreading His word across this nation. But God doesn't, He doesn't have a great movement without some opposition. So the opposition's coming in here. And, I don't know, somewhere in through here in the 1800s, remember, we broke away from England, right? So, it was King George, right? Nasty old George. Well, there was a queen after him that was a good person. Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria was saved. And Queen Victoria lived approximately, I don't know if I wrote it down or not. Yeah, let's put her. Queen Victoria lived 1838 to 1901. And she was queen for almost 64 years. I think to that point she was the longest reigning monarch over there. Longest reigning one over there. But she was saved, and I can't remember who it was. One of the foreign dignitaries came to her and said, "Hey," he said, "what is the secret of the success of your land?" And she pulled out a King James Bible and said, "This book is the secret." Well, God's having His way over here, and He's getting a lot of people are saved, and they're sending missionaries all over the world, and got a good lady over here running things over here in Great Britain, in the UK, and it was about the 1800s. We'll write the devil's guys in red. Late 1800s, we have this Westcott and Hort fellas. And I think it was 1881 or so where they created a new Greek New Testament. So what had happened, and I am not 100% sure on this history, but I know there are connections between these fellows and the Jesuits and the Babylonian system. And the Babylonian system sent these fellows to rewrite the New Testament. Well, at this point, we had a Bible that God had been using for a couple hundred years already and blessing. So what happens here, they rewrite that New Testament. Well, they were on the what a lot of people won't tell you is that they were on the revision committee. They were running it. But they had other people that were interested in helping. And I think there started out, if I remember right, there were 80 or 90 people on the committee. And before it was over with, there were like 15 or 16 because people were jumping ship because of this wicked stuff they were doing to the Word of God and the changes they were making. So these guys get this thing finished up about 1881. Well, somehow before it was totally finished, Queen Victoria found out what some of the stuff they were changing. And I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but she said she was very concerned about the state of the world because of what they were doing with God's Word. This is a saved woman. I believe she's probably a Baptist woman over there. But she was concerned about this. So before this is fully taken root over here, which is another reason this is a mess over here, this starts to take root. So this gets in here a lot earlier than the growth stage than it did anywhere else. Because by the time 1881 came along, these people were pretty well established in their beliefs, and they were pretty well established. And they had problems because they had infiltrators coming in teaching them Calvinism and religious stuff. But in 1881, that Greek New Testament is what they used to start revising the Bible. So allegedly writing a better version. The Revised Standard Version came out in 1885, 1886. I can't remember exactly when that was. But, yeah, she was very concerned about this. And Westcott and Hort were not good men. They were not saved men. They were into wicked witchcraft and cross-dressing and all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, that was before it was popular. I mean, unfortunately, it's popular, it seems like now. But they were into all kinds of wicked stuff. Now, would you want to get a Bible from these bozos? But yet, most people do. Most people have those versions of those Bibles come from these guys. But what had happened at about this time, let's see, who we got here? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The Baptists all praise that guy, calling the Prince of Preachers. Good preacher. People say, well, he was a Calvinist. Well, he had a little bit of Calvinist leanings, and he was goofed up a little bit, but he talked about the free will of man and man's decisions on Christ, so he wasn't a full-blown Calvinist. He might have had some Calvinist leanings. But he talked about the beloved King James Bible almost his whole ministry. And right after this happened, something happened to Charles Spurgeon, and he started to not believe the King James Bible anymore. So the RSV, he got in there and got in that RSV. And then you had C.I. Schofield, another great man of God, loved the Lord, believed he was a saved man, a good Bible scholar. And he got a hold of this mess too and started correcting the King James Bible. So the reason this country was blessed the way it was blessed is because the Word of God was working here. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be blessing Israel and shouldn't be praying for Israel, and I'm not a replacement theologist, you know that. I don't believe that we replaced Israel for a second. I believe that there's a pause in Israel's timeline and God's going to turn back to them after the rapture, that Daniel's 70th week. And I believe we should pray for Israel. And, Israel's a mess. And the only one that's going to straighten it out is Jesus Christ. So if they could get Donald Trump and Joe Biden both over there, they couldn't fix it, right? That was kind of a joke. But the last half of that should have got a laugh. No, both halves should have really. But the Lord's going to fix it one of these days. He's going to fix it after the last half of that tribulation. But, I believe that God is just about done with this place. Because this place is done with His Word. And I don't think anybody takes His Word seriously anymore. Right. And they give lip service to blessing Israel and all that stuff, but the most important thing that made this nation great was not blessing Israel, it was the King James Bible. It was a pure Word of God that came from the right line that God was using. And God used King James, King Jacob over there, where the word of a king is, there's power, to get that book written. And while that book is the reason they had all the prosperity they had, And then when things went haywire over there, they got a bad king. They were still hanging in there as far as their prosperity goes, even when they're a bad king, because they had the right book. And then Queen Victoria comes along, and God keeps blessing them. Well, I mean, this time here is about the heyday of the United States, that 1800 period where this happened. That was about you can see the downfall of the United States start after that. We look back and we can say, well, it started in Roe versus Wade. No, it started before that. Roe versus Wade wouldn't have got here without this. I don't believe that for a second. Well, it started at the Bible being pretty much shunned at the schools. Okay, but it would have never happened without this. Or maybe it started before that when Charles Darwin was trying to make a monkey out of the scientist, and he succeeded, right? Well, yeah, but this is what really did it. This is what really did it. And Satan had these two guys really working overtime to destroy people's faith in the Word of God. And think about it. If you're here and you got a Bible, I'm trying to remember all the things. I can't remember all the things our founding fathers said. You know, this nation wasn't a Christian nation and all that stuff. Well, baloney. Some of those guys might not have been saved, but they believe the Bible. And they would quote a King James Bible. And I believe some of them were saved. And I can't remember if it was William Penn. Does that sound like one of those guys back there? William Penn? William Penn? Penn. Yeah, like William Penn University. Anyway, he said that the King James Bible, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember all their sayings. I just remember what some of them said, contained the mind of Christ for us. Now, that sounds extreme by today's standard. And, you can look up some of the quotes that Benjamin Franklin and other people made about that Bible, and Thomas Jefferson and Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams would not be happy about them selling beer in his name right now. As a matter of fact, Samuel Adams was, as far as I can tell, he's a Bible-believing man and had a lot of good things to say about the book, the Lord, Christianity, and the founding of this country, and the fear of this country ever getting away from that book. So I just want to talk about that for a few minutes tonight, because it's so important to realize the heritage we have is connected here to this. This country would have never been what it was, or even what it is now, without this. And it's not, you know. Also, it says the Bible, we talked about this in Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there is power. Well, that King James Bible come down through here. Guess what this nation got? Power. Bunch of plowboys whooped an enemy that, by all practical means, they shouldn't have been able to whoop. But why'd they do it? Because the enemy was turning away from the truth, and they were hanging on to it over here. And God used those farmers to defeat the people that were going apostate, to found this nation so he could use this nation to spread his word all around the world. And now today, I mean, this is always seems like a little bit worse, but the whole country is almost that way now. It really is. And even if you go into these areas here where there's a Baptist church every 45 feet, you can't throw a rock without hitting a Baptist. And everybody's saved, even their grandma's preaching, you know, all that stuff's going on, and everybody's saved. I mean, they were born saved. They were saved before they were born, you know, down south. But what the thing is, they don't know what the gospel is anymore, even. Nobody can quote scripture anymore. People quote things that aren't even in the Bible. People are in church every week. And they quote it like it's God's honest truth, you know. Well, you know what the Bible says, God helps those who help themselves. Okay, chapter and verse. I can go, you don't work, you don't eat, but that's not in the Bible. That God helps them. Well, you got to live by the golden rule. Okay, show me. Show me the golden rule. And then they'll quote these things, and they can't quote Scripture. But you know what's funny? Down here, the reason they say y'all is because they had a King James Bible. They learned how to read and write out of a King James Bible. You know what Paul said? Y'all. There's a lot of terminology the Southerns have, the Northerns don't have. Because they learned how to read and write out of a King James Bible down here. You know? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And right there, that says it all right there. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Spirit of God moved down here through His Word and turned this nation into a nation greater than any other nation. Because this nation chose God and chose His Word. And then we left both of them. So that's all I wanted to deal with tonight, just a little bit of American history. And I will add this, though. Part of the reason, and I am thankful that we do have a nation that people want to come to because it's a great nation. I mean, it's nothing like it was. And it's probably never going to be anything like it was again. Nothing like it was even 40, 50 years ago or 30. But the problem is we've been guilted and bullied into being ashamed and afraid to speak the truth right now that we're like it. Even like this border issue, it becomes some kind of a taboo thing to argue about the border. Well, you know what the devil's doing? He's filling this country full of lost people. We got saved people who don't know any different. And we're getting Babylonian lost people coming in here, and he's changing the religious structure of this country. See, when Barack Obama said that he was going to fundamentally change America, I believe he kicked the football off to get it started. I mean, really started, because it was going downhill anyway. I mean, he wasn't the first bad president. One of the worst presidents I ever remember us having was a Baptist. Well, two of them. They both started with C, Carter and Clinton. Guess who they are? Anyway, and we almost got a third one. But the devil says, well, you know, I can't get rid of the word totally, but I can saturate that place to the point where there's so little truth left in it. That's why I tell you, you know, I don't say this in pride, like, oh, we're great. We're nothing. I mean, if God uses us for anything, it's praise the Lord. It's mercy and grace. But if you've got a Bible and you believe it and you go to church and you try to live that book, you are the remnant of God's people that believe it. Nobody believes it anymore. But you know what? It dawned on me the other day, because I talk to these preachers all the time. I had preached about a year ago in this men's meeting over there, and I got, man, dirty looks and disgusted, arm-crossed looks when I said, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And they were like, oh. You know, I offended Senior Pink Britches down there somehow by saying something about the Bible. But, you know, and I thought, man, that's terrible. You know what, a bunch of bozos. You don't believe the book. You don't even know what you got in your hand. Well, God's been good to me. He told me the truth. He got people to give me the truth. Not everybody have it. I thought about this the other day, though. Maybe I was a little hard on those guys, because if a guy like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that had such a wonderful ministry, if a guy like Billy Graham, that had such a great ministry, could end up in the mess they ended up in, why are we not going to expect that most preachers don't even use the right Bible anymore? I mean, there just aren't any men of the caliber of Spurgeon or, I'm not going to say Graham, there probably are some Billy Graham's caliber. But you look at Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I mean, that guy was a preacher now. He probably, the Lord, D.L. Moody. I mean, a straight, gun barrel straight Bible-believing preacher. Wasn't anything special about him but his belief in the Lord. And, you know, D.L. Moody, as far as I know, ended well, though, believe the book. But if the devil could get a guy like Charles Haddon Spurgeon off in the ditch, he'd get anybody off in the ditch. You know? I don't want to get off in the ditch. I want people, when I say I believe the King James Bible, they go, yeah. You know, I want the Jehovah's Witnesses to stomp off my porch and say, you and your precious King James Bible. I'd say, yeah. Amen. But that's what did it. It wasn't just blessing Israel. That was part of it. And God was going to use this nation in a mighty way to not just bless and help preserve Israel. But really, I mean, if you look at it, Israel, we're not Israel's only ally, but we're almost their only ally. And we're almost not an ally. But Israel's really almost our only ally. Who else is for us? It's not up here. And it's not down here. And even though Putin would probably be a better president than one we got now, it's not over there either. But anyway, that's the reason I believe this country was founded and God allowed it to do what it's done and still is being merciful to us. But he did hold this thing off and keep this place separate for himself until he could get that Bible in here and use it. And he used it. And he's still using it. But anyway, any questions, comments? Not about the artwork, please. Anything? Anybody? Sister? Well, I don't know about what particular ministry, and I don't know exactly what gospel they're preaching, whether they're preaching about the blood, preaching about trusting Christ and Christ alone. I don't know about that. But where I was going to go earlier, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that brought back a thought that had left my mind. He doesn't have to get rid of the King James Bible. He has to get people to doubt it. So when you've got these people that use 15 different versions, say use whatever you want, you see, the people that come over here and were willing to fight and die for that, the people that were willing to be burned at the stake, is because they believed they had the Word of God. And now there is no perfect Word, there's no this, there's no that, there's no that, it doesn't matter what you use. They think we have ideas and precepts. So therefore, if you don't believe that there is a true Word of God, then I can't teach you doctrinally something that you can be taught differently out of another version. So the devil just does that for confusion, and God's not the author of confusion, it's the devil. So even if people are getting saved, I believe some of these ministers are getting people saved, praise the Lord. But then they're stunted because they don't have a real Bible, or they're confused about the, hey, I can pick this book up, I can go out, I can go anywhere I want to go, and I can open this book up, and I can say, this is the Word of God, and this is what God says, and I mean it. And I had a guy in the prison tell me, a couple different guys in the prison tell me over the years, I don't necessarily usually believe what you believe, but I believe you believe it. I said, it's because I believe this book. And by the grace of God, unless he scrambles all my neurons, I ain't going to quit believing it. But if you've got all this, that's all the devil wants you to do, is if he can't get you to just quit and throw it away, he wants you to doubt it. He wants you to doubt it. And on the surface, most of these versions, if you look at an RSV or an NIV or a New King James Bible, on the surface it's like, yeah, they look pretty similar. But if you really study, first of all, this is the only one that says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed to write the dividing word of truth. This is the only one that tells you to study it. But if you really study it and start to get into the deeper doctrinal things, you're going to find out that those other books change all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, there are some things you get in there when you're looking at the tribulation and you're looking at the millennial reign and you're looking at the deity of Christ that you can get out of this book, you can't get out of any other book. You just absolutely can't. It's gone. And, so the devil, he destroyed the Word. No, he didn't destroy the Word because we still have it. Right. But that he has destroyed people's faith in the Word. So, here's my question to these preachers. And if they just fuel their jet and have a seat and think about this, right? If there's 400 different versions out there, and this is the only one that anybody says is right and perfect, why not use that one just in case they're right? I mean, they say it doesn't matter which one you use. Well, then why not use the one that people are saying is the right one? Nobody will tell you the NIV is the right one. They'll say it's all right. Nobody, they'll say, well, they all compare to this one.
Right.
Everyone that comes out always mentions the King James Bible. Why? Because this is the one they're attacking.
Right.
You guys probably thought, well, that guy's a nut when I first started talking about this King James and the NIV issue and stuff. I know, I'm not saying you didn't believe the King James Bible, but the stuff that's in there, in these other books, and the stuff that's not in there that's in here. It's just amazing stuff. And like I was talking about before, there was a guy named William Lyons Phelps, and I think he was from Yale. He was an English professor at Yale, if I remember right. And I was going through this stuff. I was trying to figure out, because I just always thought that this was the right Bible. And then I found out there was this big controversy about it years ago. And I started studying it. And I thought, man, these people, hateful people on this side, hateful people on that side. I don't know what to believe. And I was like, Lord, show me. And I was convinced the Textus Receptus was right, but I thought, I didn't know about where the other Bible versions were coming from. I wasn't sure what was going on with this book or why everybody was attacking it. But I was praying, and I read one day, I was sitting in my office over in Illinois, and I was reading a book, and I can't remember. One of them was by David Otis Fuller, and he's another good Bible believer. And another guy, I can't remember whose book it was, but it was a guy's quote, William Lyons Phelps. He was an English professor from Yale, I believe. And he said, talking about the beauty and majesty of the King James Bible, and there's no other book that was ever written like it. And I thought, that's it right there. Because if my king was going to write a book, it'd look like this. It wouldn't look like something I wrote or a third grader wrote. Amen. It looked something like this. You know? I guarantee you can't find 50 people that don't use this book that can quote as many verses as two people that do use it. Because this book is the right book, and it's easier to memorize, and people that believe it tend to memorize it. Amen? I remember I went up to, when we first started going up to Hope, they were saying, anybody got a song you want us to sing? Could you have song service? They wanted to let us pick a song, which they didn't do very often. And I said, yeah, I can't remember what it was, but he said, okay, Bible verse. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't know. We were new up there. And he goes, here's the way it works. You got to quote a Bible verse. And the first one that came to my head was, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And boy, the amens and the yahooing went on. And I thought, man, I'm in a Bible-believing church for sure now. Amen. Yeah, I got to sing that song, whatever it was. I don't remember. But that book right there is the reason this country was ever great. And the reason it's still hanging on, you know.